Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 109, part 2, where he leads, I will follow. Today is Sunday, August 9th, 2009. Hello, thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. A bit about Pastor Paul's mission. You know, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why do I say that? Because we have no boundary restrictions. So if you live in Minnesota, you can come to Pastor Paul's, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue. It is located at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online to get a little bit more information about Pastor Paul's, and that address is www.pastorpaul.org. You can also make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. And there you're also going to find the show notes to Pastor Paul's podcasts, where you can leave those comments, make those suggestions, or give a testimony. You're also going to find scriptures to the messages located in the show notes, so be sure to check out those scripture links. Also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. If you've been following Pastor Paul's podcast, you know that we do have two parts. Each message is broken down into two parts. One is aired on Friday. I try to post it Friday by evening, and on Sunday as well. So be sure to listen to both parts of the message, and I hope you're getting a lot out of them. I know I am. Now, this month, the month of August, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of some titles of the messages that we're going to post this month. Where He Leads, I Will Follow. Jesus, the Light of Men, Faint but Not Faint of Heart, A Vain Showing. Those are some of the messages for the month of August. Well, August in Minnesota is really nice and hot. It's a great month to come and visit. So again, I'm encouraging you, if you are from out of town, come on in and enjoy some Minnesota hot weather. And at the end of the month, a little sign that summer has come to an end for us in Minnesota is the Minnesota State Fair. We call it the Minnesota Get Together. It is the best, the best. I'm going to leave a link all month in the show notes to the Minnesota State Fair. I've been going to the fair forever. I'm not quite that old forever, but I love the fair. It's so much fun. You can do everything at the fair. Be sure to check out their site map. Okay, that's it for me. I will see you back here on the intro for September. I hope you have a great month and listen to each of his messages this month. They're absolutely going to be the best. God bless you. Have a great month.
You know what's happening? It's that they are falling into and almost being fooled. Those are signs. When there's a separation between the sheep and the goats, when there's a terrible rebellion that comes into the house of God. When there's a rebellion, preacher, listen, when there's a rebellion against authority, I'll have it my way. Those are signs. Those are stirrings also, almost ready for you to see a stirring in the mulberry trees. God is on the move. Ooh, so much prep work, and oh, how much prep work went on the north side down here before we even thought of coming down here, before we could even be received. God works through poverty. Did you know that? Oh no, that is not of God. God never works through poverty. Well, you can stop it anytime you want to. Couldn't he? He works through it. He works through disease, too. You think about it. You think about Moses there, when all them different things happened there, when that old Pharaoh wouldn't turn around. God works through it. God's going to shake people. It says in the end time there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. This AIDS is going to spread. It's going to be a cancer. It's going to spread around the world. It's going to be the most icky, terrible thing. We've covered up right now, and now it's getting uncovered. I tell you right now, one way or another, God makes his point clear. Have I made myself clear? And it says in the end that pestilence will come. Famines will come. Don't we have them right now? Aren't there catastrophes like never before? Are there not, even in our world right now, smoke and pillars of smoke? Say amen. Is there not a knowledge that's increased right now from 1940 to 1950, double, from 50 to 60, double, and from 60 to 70, double, and from 70 to 80, double? In the year 2000, who knows what's going to happen? Oh, I tell you, there's a stirring in the mulberry trees right now. But then the Holy Spirit must go before us preachers before we prepare even to preach. Before I even got ready for this message, things had to happen throughout the whole week to me to even be ready for this message. Man, the last 2 weeks I've had my face gouged open, my cheekbones sticking out of my face. I've had my wrist busted and I had my guts popping out. But from each one of those things, I had a message come forth. God had to prepare the preacher to give the message. Say amen. There's a preparation that must be done. But the smallest thing can change your mood, preacher. Just the littlest thing can change your little old mood. You come up and you find out that your clothes ain't right. There's a wrinkle in your pants. They're not hanging just right. A child may yell out, "Wah!" right in the middle of your anointing. Someone may even blow a large pink bubble. Or maybe a loud, out-of-time amener may be in the audience. And you're just working up and God is moving and all of a sudden there's out of time. You ever hear an amen or that's out of time? You know, and the amen out of time? Amen! You have to wait for the echo to go down so you can carry on the message. Or children are allowed to run in and out. Or people sitting in their atoms. You ever try to preach to people that are sitting in their atoms? Oh God, it's horrible. It is. You just give the message out and it bounces back. What was that? It's not getting through. It's coming back to me. Boom, 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 boom. You're not getting through. Have you felt that, preacher boy? Have you? Put up your dukes and keep fighting. Do you ever go into a crowded room and you're going to tell something funny and it falls flat? And everybody goes. Preacher, preach it. Don't get your mind on your pants, and don't get your mind on people's faces, and don't get your mind on nothing. You have heard the stirring in the mulberry tree, and my God, you get up there and you preach it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. You got a direction from God, and you go ahead with it no matter what. Maybe you'll have people who are unattentive, preacher, while you're preaching. Maybe they will be looking at the wall or they're bored. But shame on all of us if we're by one small reason, if we're into it ourselves and we're affected by that. We're not affected by those things, and none of us should be. We shouldn't be affected in our jobs when people say, you are a tremendous drag and a bore. That's what you should be to them. They're not of the same spirit, but you keep right on. And God will use those words they used, and you bless them, and you pray for them, and burning coals come on their head, and pretty soon, you know, they're coming back and say, you know, I'm sorry I said that. I don't know what got into me. But you know what got into them. God allowed it, and you changed if you prayed for them. And they change because you prayed for them. And God uses all that on our jobs when everything goes wrong, and in your life and everything goes wrong. Oh, gee. God uses all that. How do you think we ever change if we never had any kind of mistakes? Oh, don't talk that way. That's negative. We never admit to having mistakes. Never, ever, never. But preachers, many of us are. Oh, we're so weak, and we're so, you know, dependent upon what it looks like. And even before the preacher enters the pulpit, he may be tilted. Maybe God has given him a glorious message, and then someone comes up and complains 2 minutes before he goes on. 2 minutes before he goes on, someone comes up.
I just thought I would mention this. So-and-so's in the back row back there. And they are the most terrible sinner that ever was. They're sitting way over. I have to point both ways. Somebody thinks I'm pointing to them up here, the balcony. And there's the most terrible sinner. They're sitting up there in the balcony. It's my mother-in-law. And I wish today that you'd preach on, you know, repentance. Could you preach on that? Could you? I'd say, well, I would, but it'd probably, you know, flatten you out because, see, You need to repent, you know what I mean? So we'll leave that one for later. But right now, God has given me a message, okay?
Preacher, you have heard from the Lord, now go to it. We're preaching to preachers today. I suppose you already noticed that. Preachers, the Lord must go before us. May the prophet have a vision before he speaks. May the hand of the Lord press heavily upon him before he uplifts his hand, glory to God, to point people to the Lamb of God. May his lips be blistered then from the live call off of God's altar, glory to God, before he opens his mouth to speak the words of flame in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that God prepares the hearers by going before them and also prepares the preacher by going before him. Oh, when God goes before, it's so great. A single word spoken in the anointing will affect more than 10,000 uttered in the power of mere reasoning or eloquence or an even earnestness. One word. Hallelujah. One word with the anointing. Because when God goes before us, wonders are accomplished by sentences that seem very important. Almost silly sometimes, but it strikes someone and they get free. Truth is always revealed in the very simplest ways. Now, I know you have heard them many times before, some of these words that I preach, and that preachers preach. They fall down along like snowflakes all around you, but now they are flashes of fire. And they burn into your heart, and they set your heart and your spirit ablaze. And what is the secret of this power? God is in it. God is working with it. He's proving his presence with his people. Oh, that's a strange thing, but it's strangely true that by the foolishness of the preaching, it pleases God to save them that believe. Ooh, and while his power is never promised to go by the swinging of smoke pots or the lighting of 10,004 candles or robes or high hats, by the speaking and by the preaching and by the holy word and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is his pledge that people shall be saved and turned away from their sin. And so going on without God is just wasting our very time. Oh, so then it is a prime necessity, folks, that God go before. And secondly now, and we'll move along here. Then there is in this text a consequent action commanded. Then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then thou shalt go out before thee. God could have done it without any help from any of us. But God is pleased to not do it without us. Did you ever bring your little kid along and you could have done the job all by yourself, but you feel like he should learn something and you want him to help you? So, yeah, can I help? Can I? I want to help. So there's a great big mess there, and you have to clean up. So you get the worst of it. You say, okay, come on, you can help me now. Huh? Who's going before him? The Father is. He's preparing the way. Do you think that little one's going to have a victory? You know why he's going to have a victory? Because the Father's watching over to ensure it. It's the same way when we wait for God. And he goes before us and says, where he leads me, I will follow. Are you following or are you leading? What a mercy it is that God uses us. Isn't it great that God uses us? What a happiness! God could have gone on against the Philistines with thunder and lightning, and he could have had their britches smoking as they're running down the road. Oh, God's here! But no. He chose David. So he went before David to ensure and be the source of his strength. But you know what? David must follow after. Some people think when God is working, this is a reason to sit still. Shh, God's at work. Simply claim it and sit down by faith and just sit. And I know God's in it now, so I must stay out of the way. I must not. I've claimed it, and a quarter after three, it will happen. According to my faith. The Lord shall go before thee, and then thou shalt rest. Or the Lord shall go before thee, and then thou shalt sit still and be grateful? No. Then thou shalt bestir thyself. When God goes before you, and there is a whispering and a marching up above, as you will, angels going through their mulberry trees, and that's your signal, get going. Then bestir yourself. That means you have to stir yourself up. Do you think you can stir yourself up? No, but the Spirit of God can stir you up. Now, David, if ever you have moved quickly before, move now. God has prepared on purpose to victory. Go get it. Look alive. Use your sword now, David, with confidence. What a privilege. God, let us go on in the action. Our part is to follow and follow up what God has started to do and has purposed to do and will continue to do until it's finished. Just look at this doctrine of salvation here. Does this say then that we don't have to preach because God has predestinated, God has called, God has chosen? No. That's why you do, because God has already set the way. God has elected, God has predestined. It's in the bag. So you go preach the gospel. You do your part. God has already won them over, but you have to give them the word. That's your reason for doing it, because God has prepared that heart for it. God is saying, I lead, you follow. Now, if you were told to fight a battle and that God would be with you, wouldn't that very fact that God was with you and that you would win the battle be reason to follow? Huh? Nothing makes men more energetic than a sure thing, an expectation of success, and a certainty of exceeding because God is with them. That gives them sort of a lot of guts and makes them do what they otherwise would never be able to do. I know that as a fact because I'm doing things even now, and this ministry is doing things even now that are supernatural, that no way without God giving us guts and no way without God knowing and giving us a certainty that this was a job to do, I know that in my spirit it just gives me guts. Gives me more guts. You know what I mean? It just gives me guts. You ever got guts? You know what I mean? You ever lose your guts? When you're weak in the knees and you're sort of all white and your lips are all white in here, you know. You sort of get all white and get all drained. Oh, you know. Huh? Do you ever get like that? But when you know you're with a winner, huh? I remember one time a whole bunch of kids chased me home. Oh, you old greasy Greek, yeah, blah, blah. They chased me all the way home. And then, you know, my dad was there. So I told my dad, and I said, Dad, these guys is doing this and that. Then I was a little braver. When I know God is with me, praise the Lord. Though that he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's what you got to know, that God is with you. That's a piece that passes all understanding when you know that God is with you. That's what gives you guts, and that's what gives you an expectation of success, the certainty of succeeding because God is with us. That makes us do the impossible. To dream the impossible dream, huh? But let us not be among those in closing who say like this, God will have his own way, and therefore I don't have to pray or do anything else. God's just going to have his own way anyway. Let me tell you something. If you talk like this, you are clearly not one of his sheep, for you do not follow him. You're not following. You're saying, well, God's going to have his own way anyway. He's all predestined and so on like that. You're not one of his sheep. Because God has commanded you to bestir yourself. Get up. Grab a hold of it. But God cannot lead the sluggards. God cannot lead those that are slumbering because they will not follow. Jesus knew the heathen, it says in the Bible, would be his and his own inheritance, that the world would be his. Therefore, he prayed for all that the Father had given him. God, I would have all those that you have given unto me. You've already done it. I want them all. I'm willing to go die on the cross for this. I am fully persuaded. His life, in closing here, was a consecrated one spent in the burning zeal and constant devotion to his great Father's cause. And if you are one of the Lord's own, I will And I think it will be your mission to be like Jesus Christ. And as he was, so will you also be in this world. Don't shrink back. Let's learn to say, where the Lord leads, I will follow. I will enter the fight because the Lord has gone before me. And thirdly and lastly in our text, there is a hopeful sign afforded. When thou hearest the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry tree, then thou shalt bestir thyself. God had sent David in, around, and behind the Philistines. And he says, I want you to just simply lay behind them and lay in waiting. And he laid behind them. And he waited. And he says, when you hear the stirring in the tops of the mulberry trees, that will be my sign to you. Now, the Philistines, they were a very superstitious group of people. And they heard this stirring. The Bible calls it a marching. A stirring? No, they were superstitious. And they said, you know what? There's no wind. But those trees are stirring up there, but I don't feel no wind, do you? What do you suppose is going on? Well, it set fear in them, but it was a sign to David. And he says, David, when you hear that rustling above, and up above in those mulberry trees, those angels, I'd call them, marching up above, that host of angels marching up above and shaking on them trees. Whew. That'll be my sign. But one Philistine says to another, what do you suppose that is? He says, I don't know, man, but I'm going to jump upon my camel and I'm going to ride. They started beating it out around them mulberry trees. They were just going, them camels are there. Oh, talk about hump. They were just going. But that's a signal, David. I'm shaking the trees, David. Wake up, bestir yourself. Now up and smite them with the sword and the spear and the bow and the arrow, for your God has gone before you. Now move! And oh, these guys were all afraid anyway. What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? And here comes David from behind. They're looking this way at the stirring of the trees, and David is lying in wait, and the signal is given. Hallelujah. Ooh. Wow. Smite the Philistines when you hear the sound of the mysterious marching in the tops of the mulberry trees. I thought to myself, what kind of signs should we have? What should we have for bringing up Christ? I think we should be doing so without any kind of signs. Every minute, men are perishing. Every minute, the Philistines of sin should be killed daily. But there are certain times that call us to most unusual action. What are they? When we get concerned about souls. One morning I'll wake up, and the day before I wasn't that concerned about souls. It's always on my mind, but it's not a pressure. And this certain morning I get up, and there's almost like a pressure on me. There's a void, but there's a pressure, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, souls. That to me is a stirring in the mulberry, branches of the mulberry tree. When people come in, and they have read the Word of God, and they're prayed and fasted, and they're lifted up in the Lord, that is a sign to me. When I see people passing out tracts, and they hadn't been passing out tracts before, that is a movement in the mulberry trees. That's a sign to me. When people come in, and they're coming in by the droves, and they have never said praise the Lord before, when you feed them, and they say, praise the Lord, thank you so much. That is a sign to me. When people go down on the bread line, and tens and hundreds are even saved in these different movements, That is a sign and a whispering and a marching, if you will, of the angels through the mulberry trees. That is God preparing a way. That is my signal to go ahead. I've got some signals to go ahead right now. There is a stirring in the mulberry branches. Tomorrow, something's going to happen. I know there's a stirring in the mulberry trees. Now I'm going to go as long as that stirring is going. As soon as it stops, I'm going to stop. I'm going to wait the next day. Say, God, what would you have me to do today? I'm going to seek your direction for today, not what you gave me yesterday. I'm not going to go in there. I'm not going to start a great big work and follow through until you give me what to do each step of the way. And the next day, something unfolds, because God has an unfolding plan right down here on the north side. Sometimes it unfolds kind of slow, and people don't understand it, and so they go off in another direction. Does it look like God's in it? And so we go off over here and start a little thing over here, or do something over here, or do this. Wait. Let me tell you, last week there was a stirring in the tops of the trees. There's all kinds of things that are coming our way. Transitional housing. I don't know for sure if we're going to get into that. I got to pray. Job situations. I don't know if God's going to have. I have to pray. God will have to open up the door. God will have to give a rustling in the tops of the trees. Whew. Glory. Things are opening up. That's a sign to me. Lastly, a sure result followed. David did so as the Lord had commanded him. And he smote the Philistines from Geba till thou come to Gazer. All the way down the line there were slain and laying all over the road. They could not stand before him. And it says he won an overwhelming victory. And you know what? You don't hear much about the Philistines after that. Let us obey God and go out and tell of Jesus Christ. Surely you can hear the rustling in the very tops of the mulberry trees, can't you? Listen. Can't you? Can't you see the rustling? Can't you? It says God is going to raise up a standard against all this junk. You can't? Well, stop talking. Stop being the director. Sometimes we will not receive directions. We want to be the director. Action, camera, take four. We want to be the director. Can't stand direction. Won't allow it in our lives. Let God lead and you follow. Let God lead and you follow. Let us go out and gather in the harvest, for the fields are white. Oh, God, they're so white out there. Don't get into yourself. There's a whole field out there to harvest, God. Oh, years ago, they used to have these great big farms and all these great big old red-faced farmers in there. Bib overalls on, and they would sit down at grandma's table there, and they had a whole group of guys, and they'd have these gunpowder biscuits, and they'd have chicken, and they'd have corn, and they'd have pickled beets, and they would have cornbread, and they'd have buckets of coffee, and they had cheese, and they had home baked bread, and they had all this stuff, and they'd all sit around the table. They'd eat and they meant business, because they were going out there because there was a harvest out there. Oh, how would it be if one of them guys got into themselves? What am I doing here? What purpose is this to go out there? I mean, why should I have to put up with going out in the hot sun and bringing in and reaping in and bringing this in? I got myself to think about, I am so miserable and hot and tired, and why do I have to do, why does God always pick me to do this type of work? I'm sick of it. I just quit. You know what those farmers, that big old farmer would have said? Well, I'll tell you, I don't think you're made for this kind of work. You better
better skedaddle, go on back where you came from, because we got work to do. You just better go on back where you came from. We'll set up another place. God will send someone else. That's just the way it is right now. God will replace us at the harvest table if we don't want to get busy and do the work of the Lord, and that is bringing in souls like you've never seen before, and God is preparing a way by all these different pestilences and trials and diseases and all kinds of things. And praise God when the Lord shows you something about yourself and you can get free of it. I think it's just wonderful what God can do.
Some plant. Bible says some sow and some water, but God gives the increase. Let us then go out and gather. Surely this is an age when you can hear a whistling and a marching in the mulberry trees. God is saying now, my standard is raised against them. They are trapped. The victory is yours. God is saying, bestir yourself. Bestir yourself, Christians. My angels are in charge over you. Yes, up in the mulberry trees, like a mighty rushing wind, they march. And all you got to do is wait on me, say the Lord. Now I'm ready to move. Will you now take up the banner? Will you now pick up the plow? Will you now sow in those fields? Will you now reap for their white for the harvest? Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you, Lord, for all the people that are listening on the radio or to this tape. My God, instill upon our hearts that we must wait upon the Lord. That we must wait until you give us that next sign for that next go-ahead. And that we must be in a spirit of expectation. That we must be sitting waiting for you to say that next word. Lord, have us to be not only sitting but moving in what you've given us to do. That we therefore, Lord, may be on the way, hallelujah, and in the way as you call upon us for the next door and the next move and that next job you're going to have us to do. Lord, we're not going to get to looking at the trials. We're not going to get to looking at the tribulations. We're not going to get to looking at ourselves. We're not going to say, oh, I'm not cut out for this. We're going to say, Lord, cut me out for it. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that this message go around the world now to touch the hearts of all the people out there. To bring in the harvest, to bring in those people right now that are waiting for the glorious gospel that God has prepared their hearts before we even were thought about, that God had before the foundation of the world prepared. Thank you, Lord, that you have already done all these things, that you have gone before us. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to go before us into our homes now, and you're going to cause a peace in those homes. Thank you, Lord, that you have gone before us in our own fearful states that we get into, Lord, in our own nervous fits. And Lord, that you go before us now, that you may calm us down and let us know that, Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for us. Let us not become anxious, and let us not become weary in doing well. But Lord, let us seek ye first the kingdom of God, that all these things may be added unto us. God, I just pray that you have a mighty move down here in the north side, and that you use us and purpose to use us for that time that you want to use, whatever that it may be, Lord. We won't worry about those that will come after us. We can't do the whole thing. But Lord, while we're here, let us do all that we can. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, I just pray if there be anyone here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior, that they would now put up their hand and say, I would like to know the one that stirs those branches in the mulberry trees. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? You can know him today. It says in the Bible, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. That's a simple gospel message. You know what? It's the power of the gospel unto salvation. It works. Are you all born again here? Do you know what that means? You got Jesus where? In your heart? Have you got Jesus in your heart, honey? You don't know? Well, have you got Jesus in your heart? Because you don't know, well, then you can have him. Do you have Jesus in your heart, hon? Okay. Anyone else who doesn't know for sure, you can have the Lord today. And he takes you just the way you are. He came to save sinners. Now, if you're perfect, he didn't come for you. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were perfect. I came for sinners. When you get to heaven, that's all it's going to be there is sinners saved by grace. My perfect ones, I don't know where they Well, they go to hell because they're you know, that's the only place that that kind of confession can be made. Are you born again, huh? Are you born again? God bless you. God bless you. Lord, just touch this lady right now and just give her a quickening in her spirit and just take right now, Lord, this heaviness from her heart. Just bless her this day, Lord. We just want to encourage her right now that through all these different things that God is working in a most miraculous way. And it is my right now witness to her that through my own trials and things I go through, God works on me and causes it all to work together for good. Lord, we just pray for those that she loves so much. And we ask you that in this hard time, Lord, that we stand with her right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Just give her release this day right now. Let her rejoice because, God, you're working out a perfect work within her right now. Thank you, Jesus, for this precious lady. Amen. Amen, honey. Bless you. Okay. Bless you. Okay, is there anybody else here? Are you both born again here? Are you born again? Okay. Don't want to miss anybody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How are you people doing today? That's good. That's good. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Are you born again? When were you born again? 3 years ago. Let's pray for you today, shall we? Lord, we just pray for this precious man here that you know his heart now. And you know how precious he is. And you just reminded me how precious he is. That his soul is a precious, precious thing. And Lord, we just lift him up right now and encourage him in Jesus' name to go ye to the highways and the byways and to minister also. And to give that word out that has been put in his heart now that he may just be a help to you, Lord, and to be found worthy. Lord, we just right now want to lift him up and encourage him in Jesus' name. Give him encouragement. Amen. What's your name?
Jerry.
Okay, Jerry. Do you live around here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Jerry, why don't you come on down to Mission Monday or someday, and you know, we'll put you to work doing something. I think you'd like it.
Okay.
Hour or two, okay? Okay. Okay, Jerry. Anybody else here that isn't saved? Are you both saved back there? You born again? Yeah, right there on the end there? Okay. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. What would you like to sing today in closing?
So if you're tired,